He nearly made it in 2024, falling just short of a Dáil seat on the final count. Now, Gerard Hutch has confirmed he'll be back on the ballot in the upcoming Dublin Central by-election. The Monks' candidacy blurs many lines between politics and notoriety, between protest vote and real electoral threat. And it raises fresh questions once again about what kind of TD Dublin's voters are willing to elect. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Well, the Dublin Central by-election on the 22nd of May was already shaping up to be an interesting contest. Home to the Sinn Féin leader and serial poll topper Mary Lou MacDonald, whose leadership has been questioned in the last week, the contest was triggered by the departure of Fine Gael Minister Pascal Donoghue to a new job at the World Bank. The vote also comes at a moment of real dissatisfaction with the government. The very latest opinion polls show that the Fine Gael-Fine Foil coalition is at its lowest ever level of support. But the confirmed return of Gerard Hutch has shifted the tone of the race. In the 2024 general election, Hutch secured just over 3,000 first preference votes and remained in tight contention right to the end before narrowly losing to Labour's Marie Sherlock. And that result surprised many political observers. But Gerard Hutch is no normal political candidate. The Special Criminal Court has described him as the head of the Hutch Organised Crime Group. He rejects that. 3 years ago, he was found not guilty of the murder of David Byrne at the really high-profile trial on the Regency Hotel murder in Dublin at the height of the Hutch-Kinahan feud. And earlier this year, theatre-goers flocked to see a play about his life and times, where the man known as the Monk was depicted by Rex Ryan, son of the late broadcaster Gerry Ryan. So today, we're asking what his potential candidacy actually represents. Is it a serious electoral challenge? Is it an act of protest? Or is it something else entirely? Joining me today are Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and Craig Hughes, political editor of the Irish Daily Mail. And you're both very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you.
So he has until Friday to get his nomination papers in. He hasn't done that yet. But for all we know, Louise, he could be hightailing it over from Lanzarote on an Aer Lingus flight as we speak. Because he said he's going. This is happening.
He could be. And I think this had been the speculation ever since Pascal Donoghue announced last November that he was stepping away from Irish politics, that he was vacating his seat in Dublin Central. I think the first question on a lot of people's lips were, well, is Gerry Hutch going to contest this election again? And he did seem to indicate very early on that he would. He's been very active on social media, which is the kind of crazy part in this. He's been putting out videos and kind of very, I don't know if you call them artsy, but like standing against like a black background and encouraging people to go and vote and getting people to register to vote, which is obviously, I think we can all agree on, it's very important to go to register to vote. But then over the weekend, what we saw was Gerry Hutch doing an interview with the Irish Independent where he confirmed he will be contesting that election. He will be flying home from Lanzarote to hand in his nomination papers. And I think what will be really interesting to see is when he is back, how does he tackle this campaign? Does he do what he did the last time? Does he go out and canvass on more doors? Is he doing more public events? Because obviously that comes with its own risks as well. So I think it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, but I think the real question is, can he do it? And I think there are growing doubts about whether that's going to be possible for Gerard Hutch.
I want to look at why he does this, Craig. I mean, what is motivating him to run? Do you think it is an interest in politics? He's seeking to influence power. He's seeking to have some influence in his community. Is it about his own legacy? Does he actually believe that somehow he is misunderstood by the wider public? What is it?
Well, to use his own words, as he said in that play that Rex Ryan produced, you know, he wants to represent the community. But when challenged on this, we haven't really got any more substance beyond that. We've asked him what his policies are or what they would be. And he said he would only reveal those after he was elected, which is a novel policy that hasn't been tried before. Look, he has always been the subject of great media attention because of his association with gangland crime going back to the years, and that galvanised the Irish public attention throughout the years. When you look at why he's doing it, I mean, you know, I think there's an element of narcissism that comes in all aspects of politics. You know, it's driving force of some people to get them forward. But I think that old ego. Yeah, look, I mean, that can't be overlooked.
He would be the first politician or want to be politician to have an ego.
Exactly. And I think in politics, it is kind of an important driver for some people. I think if he is serious about this, which he seems to be, that while he faces a lot of challenges in this by-election, with his numbers, and if he increases his vote this time out, will come the next general election, he'll be a really serious threat to get a Dáil seat then.
What do you think motivates him? Do you believe he is actually trying to reinvent himself here?
I think that's probably a part of it. And I say being, you know, the criminal court judgment 2 or 3 years ago now at this stage, I would say that put a bit of a pep in his step. And if you think about it, you know, I remember when I was working in the tabloids, there was kind of one picture of the monk that was used time and time again, and he was very seldomly seen. And when you contrast that and juxtapose that with what we've seen over the last 2 years, it's kind of remarkable. And I was having this conversation with one of my former colleagues, Paul Healy from the Irish Mirror, who's their crime correspondent, and we were kind of saying at the time of the last election, you know, if you'd have said that Gerry Hutch was running for election at the time of that special criminal court trial, people would have thought you were having them on or that you were having some kind of serious delusion. But that came to pass, and I think it's hard to know, like Craig said, we don't know what his policies are, so it's hard to know why he is doing this. A lot of people in the North Inner City would talk about his work with the boxing club and say, you know, he's a good community man. But I think a lot of people have yet to actually see that. And a lot of people would say, well, one part of the community is saying he's a good community man. A huge swathe of it is saying, well, he's actually caused devastation to this community as well. And I think it's hard to know. And I remember back being in the RDS in November 2024 at the count, and people saying to him, you know, why did you do this, Gerry? And he said, I'm looking for change. And I would have introduced whatever change people wanted me to introduce. And that's very abstract, and it's very hard to contextualise.
And there's also this nonsense as well, where he says, oh, I want to represent my community. But he hasn't lived in the community for a long time. He says, you know, in the play, he talks about how he grew up in impoverished inner city Dublin. That might be true, but he's lived in the leafy suburbs of Clontarf for most of his life and now enjoys a holiday home out in Lanzarote. So, I mean, you got a piece to pass through that as well.
I was actually going to ask you about that, okay, because there is this inconsistency here, isn't there? That he puts out this image, I am one of the people. I am an ordinary man. I understand your woes and your problems. But as you say, he spends most of his life either in the leafy suburbs of Clontarf or over in Lanzarote, where he is now. So is he actually suggesting that he is going to come home, live in his constituency, attend Dáil Éireann at its sittings and represent the people on a sort of daily, weekly basis? Is that the promise here?
Well, I suppose he doesn't even, you know, for him, given he won't give any policies, he can cross that bridge, you know, when he comes to it. But I mean, I think if he did get elected, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I'd say he would attend the Dáil and cause noise. I mean, I think that's what he would like to achieve from all that.
And is his lifestyle the one of the ordinary man?
Well, the ordinary man doesn't have two homes and one of them in Lanzarote. So I would say no, of course not. And I think as well, there's another interesting facet of all this. If he was to be elected, and while he says he has no involvement in crime anymore, he wouldn't be able to be stopped by Gardaí on his way to the Dáil, which creates some other challenges. Now, I asked Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan about this in the wake of the last general election. He says there's no plans to bring forward any constitutional changes in that regard, but it's just one interesting issue that would emerge. And I suppose the other thing as well, security sources have pointed out, there would have to be a real ramping up in security around Leinster House if a figure like Gerry Hutch, whose life has been under threat so often, was suddenly in and out of Leinster House on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about how, when you're going through the front door in Leinster House, like the barrier is what, hip height probably? Like you could clear it easily if you wanted to, I'd imagine. So that would have to be serious conversation, but that probably we should be having anyway, to be honest, because, you know, when you go to other parliaments and you go to other places, you realise how actually lax the security is in Leinster House. But I think it would bring a whole new element to it if Gerry Hutch is successful in the by-election.
Okay, so let's look at the likelihood of that happening. Let's go back to 2024. He secured 3,098 first preference votes. There was 9.5% of the first preference votes. He finished with 5,321 votes after the transfers had been counted. I'm giving you all the facts here, folks. He missed out by almost 800 votes, right? So, and he was right there at the end with Maurice Sherlock. He wasn't a leading contender. but he was a serious outsider. So is your sense in the intervening 2 years that he has grown that vote in any way, that he has lost any of that vote has stalled? What's your sense of it, Craig?
Well, I think there is an indication that the vote for him will have grown. And if all you have to do is look at their presidential election, okay? So turnout was lower in that election. So if presidential was probably, you know, somewhere around the low 40s there, in the general election, 52.3% in his constituency. But the level of spoiled votes in Dublin Central was 15%, right? So you'd have to equate a lot of those with Gerry Hutch or Malachy Steenson, which is above their combined share in the general election.
So protest votes.
Exactly, yeah. And then he's put a lot of emphasis on getting people to register to vote. There hasn't been any real evidence that that has had any real snowball effect. I think it was in the low hundreds last time I checked on new registrations, and they wouldn't all necessarily to him. So his problem will be transfers. Even if he got, and I think this would be a big ask, even if he got 20% on first preference, I think even then he would still struggle. I think the winner from this contest is likely going to come from who can get ahead of each other and get the transfers in the left. And I'm excluding Sinn Féin from that because I think their left vote is splintering. I think you're looking at someone from, I think either Daniel Ellis, who's the bookies' favourites, or Janet Horner from the Green Party.
I think the Sock Dems and Green candidate.
Yeah, I think the Labour candidate, Ruth O'Dea, is probably a non-runner. She's a kind of an unknown political entity. And then you have, I suppose, Ray McAdam, the Fine Gael candidate, the current Lord Mayor, who's kind of taken over from Pascal Donoghue. He had a pretty impressive showing in the local elections, but him and the Fianna Fáil candidate, John Stevens, the Deputy Lord Mayor, I just don't think that they have any chance here because, again, even if they transferred above 50% of each other, which they won't get, they will still need some other transfers, which makes the pathway too difficult. So the real story that will be coming out of this, if it's not around the Monk, will be Janice Boylan, the Sinn Féin candidate. I mean, she polled poorly in the general election, 1,257 votes. I think that's just about 3.8%. She only polled just over 800 votes in the local election. If she can pull it out of the bag, it'll be a big win for Mary Lou. But conversely, if Mary Lou cannot get her running mate in the last election to be elected in a by-election in her constituency as the lead opposition party, it's a significant blow to her leadership.
And we are going to discuss that, I think, in a podcast in the coming days, because there's definitely questions now being asked about how long Mary Lou can stay. How many times do you do the same thing and hope for a different outcome before people say, OK, maybe we need to do something different? OK, Hutch is talking about bringing a running mate here, right? What is the strategy? What's the thinking there?
So if you think back to the 2024 general election and that count in the RDS, initially it looked like Hutch was pulling ahead. And I mean, there was at one point Hutch had just shy of 5,000 votes and Marie Sherlock had just shy of 3,000 votes. Mm. And that was after the dissemination of Malachy Steenson's transfers when he was knocked out. And that really was the only place that Gerard Hutch was getting transfers. So even though Gerard Hutch was so far ahead at that stage, what started to happen was other people started to get elected, like your Pascal Donoghue's, your Gary Gannon's, and the transfers then started going towards Marie Sherlock. And that was what impacted Gerard Hutch. Even though he was so far ahead, there was just no one for him to get the transfers from, bar Malachy Steenson. Now, the Mail was reporting on Monday that it looks like Gerard Hutch is looking to kind of bring someone in who they could get transfers from, perhaps not from that inner city area that he's from, perhaps from out in the suburbs. I think that'll be difficult for him to do. I think it's a big ask if he, and again, it comes back to timing, he's still in Lanzarote. If, you know, if he'd have started this perhaps a few months ago, it might have worked out. Perhaps he would have got someone. Perhaps he does have someone that we just don't know about. But I think the transfer is what's going to kill him, because that's what happened the last time.
So if he had a candidate, a running mate out in Drumcondra or Cabra, another part outside of the inner city, maybe he could get transferred.
But think about Cabra, for example. That's Mary Lou MacDonald's area. So are people going to transfer to Gerard Hutch from Mary Lou's area? You know, probably unlikely. And I just think, you know, if you're encroaching on other people's territory, you're not guaranteed those transfers. And I don't think he'd get someone in those areas.
I think the benefit of the play to him was this, that, you know, the Ambassador Theatre and his constituency packed out. And I was kind of thinking, you know, if only a small amount of the people who are in here who aren't supporters of Gerry Hutch coming out decide, oh, do you know what, I'll give him my number two. Well, that'll be a big win for him. Now, I really think that he failed to capitalise on the momentum on the back of that play that he had gotten by going away. He hasn't really had a traditional campaign in the sorts that we're used to. He's not going to be out knocking on doors or having media come along with him for door knocks or anything like that.
But if he does want to, we are more than willing to go with him.
Well, that'll be the big question. Will he campaign differently this time, do you think?
I don't think so. Because
does he have any choice but to try and campaign differently?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be knocking on doors of people he doesn't know to went and support him. His focus, as he said, will be on getting people registered to vote. And I suppose the other thing to think about when you're looking at the figures from last time out is that Dublin Central is a constituency that typically has a lower turnout than the rest of the country. You know, it was significantly down compared to the national average in the general election. By-elections, again, are lower turnouts nationally than that again. So it's the old cliche, but, you know, decisions are made by people who turn up. So if he can get more of his vote out, that's his only pathway, and hope the others stay at home. Like, for example, the Labour candidate, as I said, Ruth O'Dea, doesn't really have a hope in this race. Marie Sherlock had built up a very strong personal vote in that constituency.
And she had a big profile.
Yeah. Will they come out to vote? You know, and I suppose the other people on the left will hope they do, but will they stay at home because of that?
And don't forget as well, a by-election is so different from a general election.
Exactly.
You need, you know, 50% plus one of a quota. And
it's like the presidential election. It's the last person standing.
Yeah. I mean, with that, in a way, a lot of it will be a personality competition, because people will be given their first preference to those that they like, because, you know, they know there's only one person getting elected. But it's a very, very different beast to a general election. And I think that's where not only Gerry Hutch, but all of them are going to find it difficult to capitalise, because I don't think you could say that any of them are outstanding candidates across the board.
Craig, you attended the play. I know you didn't, Louise, but I'll come to you first, Craig. You called it naked political propaganda. Do you worry that he is a figure? And look, I admit we're talking about him here today. Do you worry that he's been mythologized in some way?
I don't worry on a personal level for it. I mean, it's the way it is. It's, I suppose, difficult for the media to grasp it from an editorial perspective in terms of how much coverage you give to one candidate purely because of their notoriety and association with crime. If you're thinking about doing a story on one of the other candidates and saying it's a really big deal and this is really bad for their campaign, how do you balance that? The fact that someone else in the race has been associated with gangland crime. So there is that natural fixation. It'll be really interesting to see if any of the candidates are willing to step forward and be really hardline anti-Gerry Hutch candidates, you know, because there's been an unwillingness to do that so far.
Which I have found really, really interesting. I think Mary Lou McDonald basically said, fair play to him, good luck. It's an election, anybody
you
can
see,
contest
you,
it.
But you risk, if you do that, you risk Gerry Hutch coming out and saying, oh, look, they're trying to other me. Mm-hmm. And look, they're trying to delegitimise me. And it's a careful balance to strike.
Yeah, it should be okay. I think there perhaps is a gap on the left side of things for someone to take that step forward and say, I don't think this is someone who should be involved in politics, and actually, you know, stand behind what they actually think, which is their firm belief privately.
Do you think his presence will change how the other parties approach this and how the other parties actually campaign?
I don't think so. I think they'll just carry on as they would normally carry on. I think what you'll hear a lot of, I think particularly from Fine Gael being the Law and Order party, is, you know, what kind of representation do you want for your community? What kind of, you know, safety do you want for your community? I think people could turn around and say, well, Ray McAdam is the Lord Mayor of Dublin, and, you know, how safe is Dublin City Centre at the moment? What's happening on O'Connell Street? What's happening on the street off O'Connell Street? What measures are being taken to tackle the dereliction, which contributes to antisocial behaviour? So I think you will hear a lot of, you know, the law and order and, like, what's the best representation for your community kind of lines. But I think they'll just ignore him and they'll just carry on as normal, because they don't think they have a choice.
You get the stock answer of, oh, we're very focused on our campaign, we don't want to be dealing with someone else, blah, blah, blah. But there is a serious question to be asked of these politicians about the message they want to send to their community. And I think that they shouldn't be afraid to stand away from that. They should stand behind their convictions.
What explains the level of support for him, do you think, in that community?
Well, I think when,
given that contrast that you were talking about earlier, Louise, that somebody says, I represent these people, I know these people, this is a community that is left behind, while also being part of what has absolutely destroyed that community.
I think it's, you know, a certain extent of it is probably that, you know, they see people in power and they don't see life getting better for them. And, you know, you look at Pascal Donoghue, who was a TD, he was a minister for over a decade, and what improvement to their life did they get, if any? And, you know, Fine Gael would argue, you know, the establishment of the North's inner city task force that was set up in the wake of the gangland feud that emerged there between the Kinahans and the Hutches. But people will say, well, what have you done for me? Because people don't feel like they're getting a break. And I think you saw that illustrated more recently in the fuel protest, but because a lot of people didn't see that as, you know, a fuel protest, they saw it as a cost of living protest, and people were willing to row in behind it, even though it wasn't initially set up with their interests particularly at the forefront of that. And I think people just feel like they're being left behind. And, you know, if these guys can't do it for them, well, maybe Jerry Hutch can. And it's, you know, it's an alternative. It's someone new that hasn't been in politics before. Now, you could say there are other alternatives. There's the likes of Malachy Steenston, who was ran for election upon election, who's never made his way to the door. But I think, and I hate to say it, I think the mystique of Gerard Hutch adds to that a little bit. And it's difficult to understand, but I think we should have done more as a society following the last general election to understand why Gerard Hutch got that vote. And I remember Pascal Donoghue saying that in the RDS that night, and yet nothing was done to kind of harness or understand why Gerard Hutch got the support that he did.
Yeah, well, look, he does come originally from an area of severe social deprivation. And, you know, it's well publicised that he has supported different groups within that constituency who otherwise would not have got any funding. And look, these might be small donations comparatively to what you'd expect government to provide funding for other things. But, you know, the likes of the local boxing club and other things. And I know I was talking to one teacher who worked out in that constituency before and said he's seen as a hero because there's been lots of times when there was no money for something that Jerry Hutch came up with the money for. So it's things like that that make them go, well, actually, here's someone who seemingly cares to us or gives the veneer of caring for us, and we've been left behind by central government.
And you saw that sort of hero cult status, didn't you, that night at the ambassador?
It was unbelievable. A standing ovation, you know, sold out for, was it 4 or 5 nights in a row. If any of the media went to dare to approach him on that night to speak to him, they were harangued by the crowd there. So he has, when he first, so when the play started, it begins with Jerry Hutch on stage himself in the chair, and it took me a few minutes to realise it was actually him sitting there. I thought it was Rick Ryan in makeup, and the rasperous ovation that he got. Yeah, it really just shows he is loved by a section of that community. There's no doubt in that.
And there was lots of selfies and lots of high fives and fist pumps, and this is a great guy.
Now, whether these people come out to vote or not is the next question. And as I said, the data so far doesn't illustrate a really significant uptick in voter registrations.
Have you had any personal interactions with him?
Yeah, well,
the only one I had was that day in the RDS Count Centre when, you know, there was this, and I look back on it, I was like, what were we thinking? All the media kind of chasing him around the Count Centre, this really, really, in hindsight, dangerous huddle. And he, in a way, looked delighted with himself because he knew he had us wrapped around his little finger and he was telling us nothing. But that was the only extent. I know Craig had more and more recently as well.
Yeah, so at the Cowan Centre, I was ended up being positioned right beside him. So I was able to have kind of an extended chat with him. He seemed fairly friendly. And at the play, he was there for an event beforehand, which I attended, a kind of promo event. And he was getting very affable, very friendly. But he then, there's this pivot that always takes place where he says, oh, the media are all paid for by the government and you just say what the government wanted to say. And then it was interesting, he started going on about and Pascal Donoghue giving all this money to the World Bank, you know, and I was like, well, I broke that story. So how do you square those two things? But it's an easy thing for, an easy trope to throw across, but you see that pivot. And then he really kind of flared up with Paul Healy from the Mirror when he dared to ask him about criminality, you know, and he threatened to call the whole thing off if he's going to keep asking about that. But of course, you know, Paul and others persisted in that regard. So I would say he's very volatile. So while he can come
we
across,
we saw that in the Crown Centre, didn't we?
Yeah, with Paul Reynolds from RTE, and he kind of made a point of saying to Reynolds, well, like, you've ruined it now for all the rest of them, kind of thing. And well, while we were trying to ask him those political questions, you know, there are questions to be asked following that special criminal court case that Gerard Hutch has never answered, and he's, you know, done interviews but he's never fulsomely answered any of these things. And I think, you know, I would love to go canvassing with them. I would love to see the reaction. I'd love to have an interview with them. Whether he's going to do that or not, I think, is anyone's guess. But I think if he wants a chance to get his side across and he wants to grasp that and do it genuinely and do it fulsomely, I think there are ample opportunities for him to do it. It's just up to him whether he actually wants to or not.
Call it. Will you do it?
No.
I don't think so, but I think come the next general election, I think that's when the real success of his long campaign will come to fruition.
Okay, we're going to leave it there today. My big thanks to Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and Craig Hughes, political editor of the Irish Mail. As I mentioned, nominations close this Friday. The race will then be officially on, both in Dublin Central and, of course, in Galway West, where voters will choose a successor to President Catherine Connolly. Thanks for listening to News Talk Daily today. You'll always find us on the Go Loud player. And don't forget to give us a like or follow so you never miss an episode. Until tomorrow, from me, Ciara Doherty. Take care.